know, folks, we are really privileged to have with us John Rapoport, who's worked as a freelance investigative reporter for over 30 years. He's the author of three very great collections, The Matrix Revealed, Exit from the Matrix, and Power Outside the Matrix. And by the way, I don't know, folks, have you seen this? If not, and if you homeschool your children, ask John about this. And I think that I believe this is necessary. You know what's missing in our curriculum is logic courses, all right? Seriously, high school level, logic. And he's got a course out, Logic and Analysis, and that's actually the price of Logic and Analysis course has been cut drastically, and it's been made part of the much larger product that Matrix Revealed. You can go to his website, nomorefakenews.com, and click on Logic and Analysis. But I believe if you homeschool your children, I gotta tell you, man, I'm a big fan of this course, the Logic and Analysis course, because, you know, yeah, what are we missing in today's world? And that's critical thinking. And John's course teaches just that. In fact, John Locke said, logic is the anatomy of thought. Indeed it is. And we are so blessed to have on a regular basis John Rapoport. We love the man, we love his information, and we appreciate him highly. John, thanks for holding over the break. Go ahead and
I appreciate you guys too, believe me.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got to stick together in these times, don't we? Man, that's just... I don't know.
The logic and critical thinking are nowhere to be found, yeah, almost anywhere in the American society, nowhere in the political system, but here we are.
Yeah. Well, can I ask, before we get further down the road, I know the topic is medical tyranny. On the same subject, do you see Obamacare just imploding upon itself, falling in its own footprint, essentially, like WTC7, or do you see something else happening? Because I, frankly, to me, Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and these mopes are useless out there. I just don't see anything going. I see gridlock. I don't know.
I do see it getting a lot worse if it's just left to stand there, Obamacare. And whether or not it totally crashes and burns on its own or just keeps getting more and, you know, more horrible as time passes, I'm not sure, but it's not going to be good. I mean, one of the simple things that Trump said was, let's have competition among insurance companies across state lines. That was one of the things that he said early on for health insurance. Instead of trying to, you know, choke out the all the small players and the medium-sized players in the health insurance field, let's just say that you can buy your health insurance wherever you want it. You can pay for it wherever you want it. Now you set up competition among these companies. So, I mean, what's going to happen? People are going to start lowering their prices because they want to survive and they want to make profit. I guess a lot of people have forgotten that that's the way things work, but it does. And that could still happen if these people in the government would just simply start making some simple rules and canceling out a bunch of other rules. But otherwise, if they just let Obamacare stand, it's just going to get worse and worse for people. The system has so many holes in it financially. So many lies have been told that I can only see the premiums and the prices and the penalties for not, you know, being in the system rising higher and higher and higher because they lied and lied and lied about how inexpensive it was going to be and so on and so forth. It's not. It was never figured out correctly, and there was really no intent to figure it out correctly at the beginning as far as how the money would work. And so it's just going to be more of a gigantic swamp. But the other thing to me is, and again, I have to emphasize this, lots of unnecessary things happen under this medical system that we have in America. And not just in America, but in other countries too. If you read the press and look for it, you'll find more and more stories, for example, about younger and younger children, and this is just one example, being diagnosed with mental disorders. A ADHD. Kid of 4 years old is diagnosed with clinical depression or bipolar disorder, manic depression. Where, if you look at that and think about it, you're talking about complete insanity, not on the part of the child, but on the part of the psychiatrist or the doctor, and prescribed very heavy drugs, very toxic drugs, which I have documented chapter and verse for years now.
And that, I believe, is the real epidemic. And that's the psychotropic drugs that are being prescribed.
It's incredible epidemic. Incredible. It just goes on. And you have these avaricious pharmaceutical companies that are staking out markets. That's what they do. Well, we haven't really penetrated the child market here, you know, younger than, let's say, 14. So we have to do something about that. What are we going to do? So they go out and they buy academic professors. And there's a case of this. We're going to buy somebody who's got a reputation, and we're going to have him publish in the field of the need for the diagnosis of bipolar in very young children, that this is prevalent and it's being overlooked and it needs to be diagnosed and the drugs have to be prescribed. Well, this is like murder. And so this system keeps spreading and spreading and spreading. We've got to screen every child in school at a very young age to see if they have a mental disorder. Well, what do you think a young kid is doing? The young kid is all over the place. You know, he's just learning how to adapt in the world. And you can cherry pick his behaviors if you want to and say, well, this is indicative of that and this goes with this and we now have a diagnosis. No, you don't. You're just making the whole thing up, and that's what psychiatry is doing. And the drugs come in behind it. I don't want to get into a long story here, but it is a proven fact that somewhere around the year 1970, maybe a little later, the psychiatric profession was dying out in America because people just didn't want to go talk to psychiatrists.
And that was starting, you know, in the 40s, if I remember right.
Well,
psychology and psychiatry that's where the licenses were given out. It wasn't a profession before 1940s, if I remember.
Yeah, well, but I mean that the profession was dying out around 1970 because the market wasn't there. The public just wasn't interested in going to see psychiatrists. Now, when I say psychiatrists, I mean MDs who have a specialization and a residency that they do in psychiatry, and then they get their certificate and their license to practice. So, the American Psychiatric Association, there began to be meetings with drug companies, and a deal was basically struck, a business deal. And the deal was that the pharmaceutical companies would bankroll the psychiatric profession. The journals with high-priced ads and conferences and medical school training, wherever money could be spent to resuscitate the profession of psychiatry, the drug companies would spend it, would bring the profession back from the edge. And in return, what the drug companies wanted was more and more, quote, research that would uncover more and more mental disorder labels that could be slapped on people requiring prescriptions of drugs. And that was the deal. And it worked. And this is part of the medical system, and it's part of Obamacare, and it's part of any national health insurance plan. It's there. And people who feel encouraged by being under the umbrella of a national healthcare plan because, well, it must be good because it's, you know, the government. Nah. I mean, they better wake up because their children are going to be diagnosed with these disorders in schools, through counselors, and then on to psychiatrist offices, and they're going to be dosed with these extremely heavy drugs, which are very, very toxic and destructive.
John,
serious damage.
Have you seen any cases that shows a kid being diagnosed like this and the parents refusing to give him medicine? Have you seen any cases like that?
Well, as far as psychiatry is concerned, I don't have a case that I could pull out, but I'm sure they exist. But medical drugs in general, oh, you bet. I mean, when you talk about chemotherapy, there are always cases where the parents decide, okay, we don't want to go the chemo route because everybody knows how toxic chemo is, and we fear for the life of our child. We understand that the cancer is serious, but we don't think the odds are in favor of giving chemotherapy. We want to try something else because we want our child to live. Well, that child can be snatched away at the drop of a hat from those parents.
Wow.
And they are snatched away. They are kidnapped. You want to see something? Go to a site called medicalkidnap.com. You'll see some stories, boy. So these children are, for example, could be placed into foster care and then into treatment, or they could just be taken from the parents directly to a hospital as inpatients, and they can't get out. And now the doctors say, okay, now we're going to dose this kid with chemo. We don't care what the parents say. The parents have nothing to say about this. They're obstructionists, and they're doing, either they're intentionally doing harm, or they're crazy, or they're ignorant. We don't care, but we are taking over the life of this child, and this is what we're going to do. And then if the child dies, the doctors say, well, the child died of cancer. Well, no, the child died of chemo. No. Absolutely not.
Huh.
This happens all the time.
Wow.
This happens in other countries. This is where the medical, talk about medical communism, I mean, this is Soviet-style operation. This is where the system bridges over into totalitarianism, where the parents have absolutely no rights. And California is in the process of mulling over and trying to pass some kind of a garbled version of a bill that they call the Rights of Children. And when you look into this bill and you see what the implications are up the road, you understand that what California is saying is that all the good things they want to guarantee to every child in California, when it comes to medical, what they're really saying is that the state owns a child. And for the good of the child, we can do whatever we want to. If we want to give this kid 30 vaccines, we will. And if the parents say, well, there have never been any studies done to show the combination effects of all the toxic ingredients in vaccines if given to a child, they say, you don't know what you're talking about. There's no need to do any studies like that. We're guaranteeing that the child gets this for the good of the child, and if you stand in our way, parents, we will take the child from you and do what we know is best.
John, what is the logical argument for the pro-vaxxers? And I see this on political forums. For example, Democratic Underground is one forum that speaks. These people just are very pro-vaccine. And anyone with a child who does not get that child vaccinated, well, they're criminals.
Pro-vaccine. Who are these pro-vaccine people?
But I guess my question is, what's the argument? If you decide not to vaccinate your child, and you're talking with someone against, you know, some obscure disease, and you're talking to someone whose child is vaccinated, where's the problem? You see my question?
Sure, of course I do. I've written about it. Sure. So the mother of the unvaccinated child would say to the mother of the vaccinated child, or in ideally, well, your child is protected, right? Got the vaccine. So what are you worried about my child for? Or did you make a mistake? Or did you think you were getting protection, but you're afraid that you didn't by vaccinating your child? And that's why you're afraid of my child playing with your child. Is that what it really is? No. My child is absolutely protected. Okay, then what are you worried about? Yeah, and there's no
logical
answer.
That's most logical.
There's no answer to that, you know. But you've got untold numbers of mothers that are, you know, illogical, to say the least. And they will go psychotic, you know, if necessary, in order to prove their point. And then you've got all kinds of paid trolls, I must tell you, online, whose mission it is to scream and shout and make accusations about how anti-vaxxers are criminals that are endangering the life of everybody and, you know, so on and so forth. And if you really want to see how this is playing out, because I've talked to people, go to Australia, where it's vicious. I mean vicious. Where trolls online will try to obtain the names and addresses of and phone numbers of people who post online, who are trying to present rational arguments about vaccines and say there should be choice. They're trying to intimidate these people into oblivion. It's extremely vicious. There is no logic in this at all. So yeah, you're right on the money. I mean, I've looked at this up one side and down the other, and the pro-vaxxers, first of all, 99.9% of them have no idea what they're talking about. They're just accepting what they see in the newspapers and what they hear doctors say on certain shows and the government press releases and so forth. And they think, therefore, they know that all vaccines are absolutely safe and effective and wonderful, and the only person who would oppose that would be a completely crazy person.
Right. And, you know, that I could understand that argument if these vaccines were and only contained what is needed to make somebody immune from these diseases. But that's not the issue here. There are additives, a whole number of things that are going into vaccines. And one thing that's really interesting, if you look at the, I think we talked about this before, the autism rate and other birth defect rates between civilizations or parts of society that vaccinate versus don't vaccinate. And an example would be the Amish community versus, you know, any city. In the Amish community, autism is nowhere near, not even a percentage-wise close to what we see. One in, what, 67 or 66 now in America?
Mm-hmm.
In the modern world, autism is, they don't have the vaccines there, yet there, these birth defects and other things that are linked to these vaccines, they're not there in those communities. But when they fill them with these additives, and there's many questions as to what goes in these vaccines that aren't needed. If it was just the alternative, just the medicine to stop the immune system or to keep people immune from these things, it would be different. But it's
or,
not that.
Or would it be, John?
Yeah, I guess that's a good question.
I personally do not think it would be different. I think, I mean, this is a long conversation, but I see absolutely no need for this entire industry called vaccination. But in order to, you know, what you really have to look at is my experience. I've talked to many people who were raised without vaccinations and also without going to the doctor every 10 minutes. You know, virtually no medical care. They were raised by parents who fed them good food. They had ample opportunity to develop educationally, intellectually, to exercise, to get out there, to live, to be responsible, to be free and responsible. And they grew up with hardly a cold. But the medical profession does not want to look into the area of wellness and see why and how it's produced. And that means immunity, too. I mean, the people I'm talking about, yes, they could get a childhood disease, like measles or mumps or something. But, you know, as it used to be, they recovered, and then they were immune.
Sure.
So the medical profession and the pharmaceutical industry in particular has no stake in studying what produces wellness in people because there's no money to be made. You don't give a drug for wellness. This is produced in a non-medical way. And this is where people who are aware and raise children go. You know, they go to producing the healthiest, happiest child they can. And this area is not looked into at all. And I've talked to these people extensively. Did you get any vaccines? No, absolutely not. Did you have childhood diseases? Yeah, I had a couple. Were they serious? No. I mean, it was uncomfortable for a few days, but then I recovered. Any recurrence? No, absolutely not. Any serious health problems? No. Go to the doctor often? Hardly at all. So how would you explain that? And they would say, well, first of all, I can tell you about nutrition, and they would talk to me about that. Exercise. Parents in the home who could take care of them and show them, you know, by example, decent values. These are the things that are being lost.
Right.
And by the way, if you want to look at some of the ingredients in vaccines, start with aluminum. Just do some research on aluminum as a toxin, as a neurotoxin. And then if you want to, you can go to the Centers for Disease Control website and you look at all the childhood vaccines, and you can see at least some of the ingredients and notice how often aluminum is included. That should be a sobering experience.
Folks, that's your homework assignment. as we've got about two minutes left, John, of our time together, and thank you so much for your gracious gift of time tonight. The last two minutes, my friend, is yours. In closing, whatever closing words you might have, go ahead and take it.
Thank you. And by the way, it's terrific to be able to do this once a month with you guys, really.
Oh, we love it.
The medical communism means that the government decides that they want to control the population, and medical area is one of the most intrusive ways to do this, to say your body essentially is not your own. We're going to decide more and more what you have to do, what diagnoses are going to be made, what your life is going to be like. And to skip ahead a few steps, the ultimate objective here is a cradle, in fact, you could say in utero to grave system, in which every human being is diagnosed with 30 or 40 or 50 different diseases and disorders, prescribed toxic drugs for each one of them that cause more symptoms, and then those symptoms are going to be diagnosed not as drug-related but as new diseases with names that require more drugging. To create a population that is disabled, disoriented, confused, in turmoil, physically unable, incapable of resisting, thinking clearly and independently, because a communist system wants to take control of everybody, and they do not want strong, healthy, free, independent, logical people. That's the bottom line.
Well said.
Yeah.
And what a closing, what a great closing argument, statement, whatever.
John Rappaport, nomorefakenews.com. Check his website out. Also, his logic and analysis course, part of the Matrix Revealed. The Matrix Revealed is on his website as well. But high school level logic and analysis course. I'm going to take that, John, seriously.
I need to
brush up on that. So, thank you, my brother. Thank you so much for your time. All right.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
We'll talk soon.
Okay.
All right. Folks, that was John Rappaport, nomorefakenews.com. Always a crowd pleaser. The man is the real deal as far as I'm concerned. If you read all about him, his resume just speaks volumes. You go back to, 1980, in the early 80s, when he started his work in the media. You know, he's hosted and produced and written radio programs and segments in L.A. and Las Vegas, and he's appeared as a guest on over 200 radio and television programs, including ABC's Nightline, PBS, Hard Copy. Remember Hard Copy? My goodness. But in 94, he ran for a seat in the U.S. Congress in the 29th District of L.A., and after 6 months of campaigning on a very small budget, he actually got 20% of the vote running as an incumbent, a 20-year incumbent.
That's
like a win, man.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Joe, go ahead.
All right, we are up against the break. We will be right back after these short messages. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Trading Post in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.changepersonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Going to get right back into the show, but first want to bring you a quick word from Greenovative and Alan Riggs over there. Since their launch with Hagman and Hagman late September of 2016, Greenovative products have enjoyed acclaim from our audience. Greenovative responded with changes to their product line based on the Hagman audience feedback and requests for more power. They first introduced the Super G-Mag Charger package with replaceable power pucks and some pretty cool accessories. It was a big hit, but the Hagman audience wanted more. So Greenovative developed the Super G-Mag complete package that had lots of batteries and lots of adapters. And you guessed it, the Hagman audience wanted more. You can get a 12% discount on any order at all products at Greenovative.com when you enter the promo code Hagman. And there is so much that they are offering. It is truly, there are some amazing deals there. From the triple power pucks to the G-Mag chargers, you can charge over 300 AA batteries with just a pair of the triple power pucks. How important will that be to have that ability to recharge batteries and have power when times are tough and it's elsewhere to be found? Folks, go to greenovative.com, enter the discount code Hagman to receive your 12% on one of their complete packages. When you need it, you'll be glad you did it. Give Alan Riggs a call or send him an email. He'll help you and talk you through it.
Yeah, great Greenovative, great company, greenovative.com, promo code Hagman. And speaking of great companies, superstore.wnd.com, the WND Superstore. I got to tell you, folks, their library, fantastic. Use promo code Hagman there. Stock up on the books and some of the books, including, I'm not going to name them all, but my goodness, we had, we've been having so many good programs lately. Have you noticed we've had, Paul Nealon on, Senator Tom Coburn.
That was a great interview. And Chris Buskirk from last night. That was
Chris Buskirk.
Oh, he was one of my favorites.
You know, that book is, I kept reading that last. Incredible.
You got to share.
Incredible. Oh, yeah. It's on my Kindle. I've got the equivalent of like a one of those old Victrolas. You know, I don't have like a new iPad.
Readers.
You know, yeah, one of the first readers. Okay, it'd be like a Windows MS DOS kind of thing. But anyway, that's what I read books on when I have to get them. I love to hold the books, but it, you know, in the electronic format, I've got like the first ever made with the green lettering and stuff. It's my wife laughs at me, but hey, that's, you know what. Anyway, but Chris Gabatz. Muslim Mafia.
That was really good.
And let me tell you something, folks. Okay. The Muslim Brotherhood, the infiltration during the 8 years under Obama and Clinton, especially the Muslim Brotherhood infiltration via the Council on American Islamic Relations, was revealed. It was really revealed beforehand in Chris Gabatz or David Gabatz in Paul Sperry's book Muslim Mafia, in which Chris Gabatz was the undercover operative, you know, working undercover. And I find it very interesting. I find it interesting that many conservative Christians, or I shouldn't say many, but some conservative Christians actually think poorly or think badly of the thing is anti-Christian to act as an undercover agent. I got an email, or I got a column in some obscure blog site written about me saying, you know, being a
yeah, I understand
how bad
that
I was.
Thinking. I can understand that thinking.
Well, okay,
I
explain it to me though.
Okay. Just one example.
Okay.
As you're doing undercover work, or you know, doing something that you have to lie about who you are and what you're doing for the purposes of a job or mission or whatever it is, some people have an issue with that morally.
Do you?
I've thought about it before. It's
But you've never worked as an operational asset for the feds or anything like that.
But the thought process the way I thought about it was, you know, what are the reasons you're doing it for? you know, undercovering crime to stop the, you know, we used to do the workers' compensation and other insurance type frauds. There's no other way to get to the truth or find out the truth sometimes. And misrepresenting yourself is part of the job.
Right.
But, and that's more of a,
I agree.
That's a lesser, to a lesser extent, part of what you're talking about.
Well,
but going undercover, doing the operational asset thing, I've never been in that situation, so I don't know. But I can understand the logic behind the thinking. Not saying it's right or wrong, but.
Okay. As long as you can understand the logic, you have a point to disagree or agree with that. But my problem is this. When somebody complains, well, my goodness, the Center for Medical Progress, they misrepresented themselves and, right. You know, in front of, for Planned Parenthood. And that crime is as bad as the murder of babies and the selling of the baby parts. To me.
Who would you rather be in that scenario?
The person that said that statement, okay, as far as logic is concerned, I could debate you in logic. I could debate you on the merits. But I just feel like saying, bite me. Okay. You can kiss my big fat rear. Because I don't have time to argue that. I'm sorry. If that's what you think, I don't even want to.
And who wouldn't be, who wouldn't, if they had the choice to be the Center for Medical Progress or Planned Parenthood, who wouldn't stand before God and say, yeah, I lied to expose mass murder of babies?
Right. Right. I'll
take my punishment for that.
Yeah, I just don't, I don't quite get that. But, anyway, I want to say, thank you so much to Lisa H. She wrote an email. Lisa, your book's on its way. And thank you so much for your offer. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to say it on air, but thanks so much for your offer, to assist us. And, JKG, I'm not going to, again, thank you for your help and everyone who's helped us. And I want to say happy belated birthday to Ruby. If you're listening, Ruby, happy belated birthday. July 6th was your birthday, from New Mexico. Just, again, spoke with your husband today and nice gentleman. Very nice gentleman. Interesting. Anyway, so, but one of the, I believe one of the most important pieces of information on HagmanReport.com was written and posted today by Peter Chowka. Fox News turns sharp to the left with help from Obama's death panel doc, Zeke Emanuel. Now, you may think, okay, this is just about Fox News and this is just, I don't know what you might think with respect to the subject. But you have to, you can't look at it, at least in my view, you cannot look at this in a vacuum. You can't look at this just by the event itself. Peter Chowka talks about the, he writes this. If any doubts remain that Fox News is continuing to swerve hard left away from its conservative roots, they were erased on July 16th, 2017, when Zeke Emanuel, MD, appeared on the channel's signature weekly program, Fox News Sunday, in his new role as a paid contributor. Okay, now he's the architect, by the way, the principal architect of Obamacare. And he's now speaking widely in favor of its retention as the law of the land. Okay, full stop at this point. Here's the, in my view anyway, and I'm not, you folks, read the article. Go to HagmanReport.com, read the article. Peter Chowka is, I believe, is an intellectual giant, and he's really got his finger on the pulse of the media aspect of this. But here's the issue with the media. You've got Fox News. It was fashioned as the conservative cornerstone of the media. And if you
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Now, when it began.
Yes.
Okay, there was ABC, NBC, CBS. You had the three.
And then CNN came.
And then okay. Fox eventually came. Were they always conservative or different from the.
Right. There was a 3-month period that separated the creation of Fox and MSNBC. All right. So you had MSNBC, who was largely Democratic as opposed to liberal. But it went quickly from a Democratic to a liberal to a progressive to flat-out socialist beachhead.
And Fox, of course, was established as a conservative beachhead, because you look at the people who were there initially, and Peter Chalka in his previous articles goes into that, Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity, and of course you had Hannity and Combs at one point, giving some balance there to that, to Sean Hannity. But in this case, don't look at this as merely, in my view anyway, don't look at this as merely an issue of internal chaos within Fox News. Look at this as part of a larger attack by the globalists. If they cannot win normally, or if they're coming in through the back door, and they're changing things covertly through the back door. And this is a key thing in this.
And they can't win normally. They had to change the minds and the hearts of the American people. And this, when we talked with Chris Buskirk last night, that's why I asked him, because we were talking about ideology and how the nation's so divided with this, the right, the left, the alt-right, the far left, the communist. And the question is it, what are we at the point where it's all or nothing? Are we? Because it seems pretty, it's getting pretty crazy out there. The powers that be, the elite, the evil, has been able to manipulate the minds of many people down away from the very core principles of everything God established. And even, that's one thing that bothers me about Fox News too, but that's not.
Well, okay.
But with Fox, a lot of people like Fox because it is the most relatable point of view to how they feel. And as they start to pull
that
the
from MSNBC though, Joe, at the same time, I've heard a lot of people.
Well, I'm saying this is the mindset. This is, we talk about how through subtlety things are changed,
not true.
With the punch in the mouth. It's over a period of time, and it's by changing small things over long periods of time. They have been. I mean, they've really. And people aren't going to want to hear this. Fox is really a controlled opposition, more than anything else at this point.
Well,
and they put pieces up there that, they're for the right, the GOP. But at the same time, there's that undertone of,
to the extent that there's editorial control over the subject matter, as we saw with Sean Hannity talking about Seth Rich on Fox News during his television. Now, don't forget, okay, he's on 3 hours in radio, Sean Hannity, and then an hour at night on Fox News, both Fox News networks. And also, think about this, on the Fox News network, Kate Daly has a radio show. Now, she's not editorially controlled. So if she wanted to speak on, we'll say, Obama's birth certificate, eligibility, I should say, more accurately, she'd be allowed to. And Sean Hannity, I believe has more editorial control. I know it has more editorial control over during his radio than while he's at Fox News on television. Now, at that network. However, here's what's going to happen. And in fact, I'm going to write this down in my show notes here. Today is Tuesday, July 18th, 2017. According to the sources I've got, and I have to talk with Peter on this too, I don't believe that the fall lineup for Fox News will look anything like it does today. And I think it's going to be taken down by the enemies, when I say enemies, but by the people who are against the agenda of truth that Sean Hannity does provide. And Sean Hannity, I truly believe, knowing what I know, and I know more than the average bear out there, and I'm saying this with as much humility as I can muster here, but I do know the principles involved here, or at least some of them, including but not limited to Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity wants the truth to get out. People think that he's stopped talking. People think that, okay, I'm not talking about Seth Rich. That's not what he said. Okay, you have to read between the lines, as well, with
what happened with his about Seth Rich.
And that says a whole lot in itself.
Right. Now, again, it was a decision. He could have gone a couple of different ways on this, but I think he made the right decision when he was approached, and I believe this to be the case. He was approached and told not to go there. Don't go there, or else you're not going to be here. So there, he had to make a decision. You got to kind of, it's no one to play him and no one to, you know, hold him and fold him. And I think he made a tactical decision in that respect. Did that, was that acquiescing to a greater power? No, I think it was a tactical move. But the information I'm getting right now is, come September, the lineup is going to be a lot different. And I truly believe that there will be casualties of the most conservative people at Fox News. That is information I'm just getting here recently over the last, I'm going to say, 72 hours. And I think I think that would probably line up with what Peter Chowka has written. The reason I think this is important is this. This represents to me the larger takeover of the airwaves, which leads me to my final point, and that's this. The only outlet, in my estimation, that will be left by the end of the year, despite Donald Trump being the president, despite having a Republican or conservative, well, I won't even say conservative, but a Republican leadership, elected leadership, the 535 in D.C., I believe that the only truth valve or funnel or repository of information will be shows like ours. We have no control over, no one controls our editorial content.
We do.
We do. That's right. And let me tell you something. I will never sell out. If someone came to me and said, you know what, we'll fund your entire operation for 5 years and we'll put you up in a mansion and helicopters and, you know, think of the most bizarre thing. There's no way we would ever do that. I would much rather live in a shack and drive a 71 Ford Pinto or have a bicycle. Or no car, or whatever.
Then sell out. Imagine that.
Well,
no, you're right though. I mean, but, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, it would defeat the whole purpose of everything we've done.
Yeah. And this is why I think, to me, it's so important that, and I ask for support, and I thank you for support, but even, or equally important, I believe it's what we need to do. The people of integrity in the new media need to come together and need to join forces so that we can, that people can look at us and trust and say, you know what? We don't need to look at MSNBC or even Fox, or we don't need the mainstream media anymore. We don't need the Washington Compost or the New York Times. We've got the information. And that's why, number one, I think we have to be on top of our game at all, on every day. We have to be on top of our game. Number two, I think we have to always bring in people that have that same agenda of truth. And thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, I also think that we have to remember that we have to be obedient to our calling, and I think our calling, and help me out with this, Joe, this is a God thing, I believe, okay? And in no way, shape, or form am I saying that we were called by God. I'm not saying that.
Well, no, but the personal experience, you know, there's a lot of reasons people do things. And we talked about a little bit about this yesterday. You know, what is the intention and what is the purpose of what why you're doing something and how important that is. And in our experience, we never sat down once, ever had a conversation, said, hey, let's start a radio show.
And but 10 years ago, I would have laughed. Or 15, whatever it was. You know, I would have laughed about that.
Yeah, we never once sat down and said, you know, we should...
I even sound like I can barely eke out a sentence, you know?
Well, yeah, but it goes back to the motives of why people do the things they do. For instance, what we talked about yesterday, people who are maybe getting into journalism to be seen and heard by people. This is what we mentioned yesterday. Just for that sake, not because they want to make the world better or, you know, go through their faith walk and have an impact here or there or change something for the better. But the motives are so important, and it shows. People know when you're being sincere versus when you're putting on a show. And it is important. And one thing that in the alternative media that I appreciate so much is that 99.9% of the people that we've interacted with, they're doing it for the same reasons we are, to better their country, to better their family. Not to better their pocketbook. Which is the money makes the world go round. Okay? But, and if you're in this for money, you're in the wrong profession.
Absolutely.
There's a million ways you can make 100 times more money than sitting here doing what we're doing.
Yeah, and you know, that's not the... Okay, and that's very, very true. We need our operational... And by the way, our operational expenses, you know, the $1,000 electric bills for the studio, for the video, for the camera equipment, the payroll. I never had these problems. When I worked in the investigative field exclusively, I never had these problems. I never had payroll to worry about. I never had families to worry about. Joe, you and I... We never had that situation. We never had to worry about, gee whiz, we had gasoline costs. We had travel expenses. We had other normal expenses, but they were reimbursed. But the fact of the matter is, it's the operational costs for what we do have risen dramatically. But, and that goes into, and I'll say this, that goes into the two shows that we're going to be expanding to, Joe's show and John's show in the afternoon and mine in the morning. We are doing this, again, it's not for the money because it costs us money to do these shows. But I want to thank Global Star Radio Network because they're the greatest, but having and BTR as well, believe it or not, I shouldn't even say that, but BTR, Blog Talk Radio, is just a fantastic company, a tremendous company. But having said all of that, the purpose for doing this is not for recognition or for what you call it, for exposure, but to get the word out there because the news is happening so quickly. It's with the 3-hour program will be for guests like John Rappaport and Stan Deo and Chris Buskirk but the shorter programs are going to be more tailored to very, you know, to the news and to current events and such. Nothing's going to change with the 3-hour program, but the other programs are going to expand what we're doing. The reason I said all of that again is because when you look at what we're doing, the operation, the more people that we can educate, touch, reach. And by the way, we are doing that. You listeners have allowed us to really expand our reach. And we have been getting more and more people coming to us and saying, look, you are changing the hearts and minds of people. You are informing the people. So if we can do that, then mission accomplished. And by the way, we are working, again, the infiltration of these seditious groups. And as you saw, the images, again, I have to mention this, HomelandSecurityUS.com, take a look at the two images, and if you have any information, please send it, read the article and send us the information. But the reason I mention this is because this is reality. This is the real world stuff. This is not stuff from somebody's garage or, you know, in a basement or in a one room bedroom of a house broadcasting. This is a combination of broadcasting, information, but also action. And you've allowed us to get very into that action aspect of things and build teams and work with people and really make a difference, fighting the pedophilia, fighting the seditious behavior, fighting the false fake narratives.
I would just say the evil that is overbearing in our society that people are flocking to for some reason. Well, we know what the reason is.
And it's going to get worse, isn't it? Do you think?
Yeah. I mean, Well, again, going back to that Chris Buskirk article last night, that was what I was getting at with him, with this ideology. I believe it has formed a divide in the people so great that this younger generation, the social justice warrior type slash communist type mindset, has infected so many people. And, you know, we have to pray for them that they mentally can navigate to a new thought process rather than, you know, bring everything down and burn everything down and do what I say, how I want you to do it, or otherwise, you know, you're out. That mentality. Interestingly enough, I know we're up against the break. There's the History Channel. I got a chance to watch about a 2-hour segment, which was kind of rare for me to sit down and do this. But they have this all day about the Nazis, the history of Germany from when Hitler took power to the fall of Germany. And
I saw. In fact, I recorded some of that.
You know, I watched some of the earlier parts. I didn't get to see the later parts about the fall, but the rise of Hitler. Some of the things he was saying. you know, one of them is how the politics have become so corrupt and divided the people so much that they need to get rid of the division for the purposes of unity to create a better country, which sounds all well and good, but he had more sinister purposes in mind, which came to fruition, thankfully were stopped. But you can see how even a good and right ideology can be so sidetracked and taken over by evil. And I know we could talk about this for another 2 hours, but we're up against the break. Stan Dale will be up next. Don't go anywhere.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the Belly of the Beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in this community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.